So I've been working on my authorization service, and it's totally sweet. It's only taken me 6 months to build it. Just 6 months. I started implementing some basic RBAC library, but that wasn't enough, obviously. So I designed relationship-based fine-grained authorization for the highest security possible. And then, to make it super fast, I used a GPU tower, running in my mom's basement, of course, connected via optic cable to bare metal server at my local esports lounge, permissions, restrictions, and admin. Nailed it.
Wait. Whatever you did sounds cool, but like, there's also another option.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with permit.io. Permit is the full-stack authorization platform created so you never have to build permissions again. Build and manage permissions for any application with policy as code, APIs, developer-friendly SDKs, and user-facing UIs. Permit is an end-to-end authorization platform built on top of open-source policy engines. It's high-performing, gets decisions in less than 10 milliseconds, and uses a hybrid approach where config is in the cloud, but data and decisions are made locally. Not only is it intuitive, it lets you implement fully functional authorization in 5 minutes, not 6 months, and in the code base you prefer. Check out the link in the show notes or go to permit.io to learn more. That's permit.io. Sign up for Permit and stop rebuilding auth.
Payments, I knew very deeply, but digital banking and banking as a service is something I had no idea about 3-4 years ago. We've used a few tools. We also focused all of those services around small businesses. I believe that small businesses are severely underserved in this country, and they have not many places to go to if they're not feeling comfortable with dealing with just internet-only digital banks. That's the niche that we're trying to occupy, so I try to figure out a first wave to be able to do that. And my first version was a lousy card that I was able to get, but the reporting sucked. I'm Vlad Sadowski, founder and CEO of Nativia.
This is Code Story, a podcast bringing you interviews with tech visionaries.
Took 6 months moonlighting.
There's nothing at the back end.
Who share what it takes to change an industry.
I don't exactly know what
to do next.
Took
many goes to get right.
Who built the teams that have their back.
The company is its people.
The teams help each other achieve.
Most proud of our team.
Keeping scalability top of mind.
All that infrastructure was a pain.
Yes, we've been fighting it as we grow.
Total waste of time. The stories you don't read in the headlines.
It's not an easy thing to achieve, mind
you. Took it off the shelf and dusted it off and tried it again.
To ride the ups and downs of the startup life.
You need to really want
it. It's not just about technology.
All this and more on Code Story. I'm your host, Noah Labpart, and today how Vlad Sadowski is breaking down traditional barriers through an integrated ecosystem of payments and banking. This episode is sponsored by Kiteworks. Legacy managed file transfer tools lack proper security, putting sensitive data at risk. With Kiteworks MFT, companies can send automated or ad hoc files in a fully integrated, highly secure manner. The solution is FedRAMP moderate authorized by the Department of Defense and has been so since 2017. Step into the future of secure managed file transfer with Kiteworks. Visit kiteworks.com to get started. This episode is sponsored by ClearQuery. ClearQuery is the analytics for humans platform. With their full suite of features, you can go from data ingestion to automated insights seamlessly. With Ask ClearQuery, you can find valuable insights into your data using plain English. Don't miss the opportunity to simplify your data analytics with ClearQuery. Get started today at clearquery.io/codestory. Vlad Sadowski is a first-generation immigrant from the Ukraine in the early 1990s. He's been in the payment space for 30-plus years, so he knows a thing or two about the space and the industry. But outside of this and tech, he is a cancer survivor, an ex-professional chess player. He mentions that along with ping pong, he still plays chess as a hobby, and sometimes to help resolve arguments with his wife. A few years ago, Vlad acquired a number of businesses in the payment space. Again, having spent many years in this space, he decided it was time to be a founder and create something in this industry with a twist, specifically for the quote-unquote reseller community. This is the creation story of Nativia.
It's actually an incarnation of businesses that I was fortunate to acquire in 2021. I mentioned before I was in the payment space at that time. Now it's going to be 30 years. Before that, it was 27 years. So the payments wasn't new to me. However, I occupied some executive roles for 14 years. And I think it was time for me to be the late founder, as people would like to call it these days. So there's obviously businesses that you start in your 20s and businesses that you start when you are in your midlife and have a lot of experience. And so this is one of those incarnations. And we started with a twist of doing payments and digital banking and working with something that's called reseller community, which basically today it's a very popular word, gig workers. You could do it on your own time. You can do it on your own schedule. And I thought that the financial technology was not something that people would freelance with outside of do coding and do websites. We started this company completely based on channel sales, and we are the first and the only company in the financial technology space that caters to being able to create a community of digital bankers that work around the country and their own schedule. We like to call it Uber banking, although it's not completely Uber, but it's something that you could do anytime. And that was the idea and the twist for this current company. And it also incorporates all of my other previous experiences as the founder of payment companies and executive in payment companies for many years.
Let's dive into what you would consider the MVP for Nativia. And this could have been, you know, maybe some of the acquisitions you mentioned or that building or putting them together. The first version of the product that you put out there, how long did it take to build and what sort of tools were you using to bring it to life?
Payments, I knew very deeply. But digital banking and banking as a service is something I had no idea about 3-4 years ago. We've used a few tools to be able to get the banking done. And first and foremost, you have to make an agreement with the bank that's going to allow you to have your license tools available. From there, you can build an application that would rely on the bank sponsor license. So very similar to Cash App, where you now have a bank behind the actual application that would allow you to do financial transactions. Deposits, move the money onto your card, pay with your card, and pay each other as long as you're sitting within the Nativia network and the Cash App. It was an ecosystem of Cash App users. And we also focused all of those services around small businesses. I believe that small businesses are severely underserved in this country. And they have not many places to go to if they're not feeling comfortable with dealing just internet-only digital banks. That's the niche that we're trying to occupy. So I try to figure out a first wave to be able to do that. And my first version was a lousy card that I was able to get. But the reporting sucked. And it started with the fact that at the same time, Bank of America sent me an email along with Chase terminating a 20-year relationship because they thought that my company would be a competition. That also gave me a motivating factor to actually become a competition for these type of banks, although it's a very big task. And of course, you cannot match them with the amount of money that they attracted and the amount of technology that they can build on and the amount of people they can put in. But sometimes you don't need that. You need probably a little bit of a will and a twist to get you going and get traction.
I'm curious about in that process, though, to build your MVP, you probably had to make certain decisions and trade-offs around your approach, or perhaps, you know, maybe some technical debt came up or limiting features, all those things. Tell me about some of those you had to make in the early days and how you coped with those decisions.
We thought that we'll just come out with a few things, get your card, get your account, pay your bills, get a cashback. That's it. Nothing fancy. And when we rolled it out, the first thing that happened is people wanted to use this as a main bank account. And that was surprising because we didn't position it for that. We positioned it, okay, you can keep your Bank of America, you can keep your Chase. Our bank account provides some virtual cards, which is easy. Our bank account provides cash back on a debit card, which is something that big banks don't do. And you use the big bank to write a check or to do some other function that you're used to. We thought that majority of the small businesses would want to maintain two different banks. and use us for what we do best and use them for their size and everything else that goes with it. Reality is not the case. We had to rapidly create additional features that would be matching the breadth and the stack that the current big banks possess.
This episode is sponsored by Kiteworks. Legacy managed file transfer tools are dated and lack the security that today's remote workforce demands. Companies that continue relying on outdated technology put their sensitive data at risk. And that's where Kiteworks comes in. Kiteworks MFT is absolutely the most secure MFT on the market today. It has been FedRAMP moderate authorized by the Department of Defense since 2017. Through FedRAMP, Kiteworks' level of security compliance provides a fast route to CMMC compliance, saving customers time, effort, and money. Kiteworks MFT makes it easy for users to send automated or ad hoc files via fully integrated shared folders and email. Administrators can manage policies in a unified console and create custom integrations using their API. Did we mention it's secure? The level of security with Kiteworks' solution is rare to find. Step into the future of secure managed file transfer with Kiteworks. Visit kiteworks.com to get started. That's kiteworks.com. This episode is sponsored by Cachefly. The web is a competitive place, and if your site delivers its content pixelated, slow, or not at all, well, then you lose. But that's where Cachefly comes in. Cachefly delivers rich media content up to 159% faster than other major CDNs. Through ultra-low latency streaming, lightning-fast gaming, and optimized mobile content, the company offers a variety of benefits. For over 20 years, Cachefly has held a track record for high-performing, ultra-reliable content delivery. While competitors call themselves fast or use cute animal names, only Cachefly holds the record of being the fastest and serves customers like Adobe, the NFL, or Roblox, where content is created by users and must be delivered in real time. For the first time ever, Code Story listeners can get a 5 TB CDN for free. Yep, you heard that right, free. Learn more at cachefly.com/codestory. That's cachefly.com/codestory. Okay, so then say from that point, from the early days, you've got your, you know, quote unquote MVP, right? You've released it, you're going up against the big banks. How have you progressed and matured the product and the offering? And I'm curious about how you built your roadmap and what do you do to decide, okay, this is the next most important thing to build or to address with Nativia?
Honestly, the answer is pretty simple. Customer feedback. We got so lucky and at the same time so challenged by our customers right away, because customers wanted a lot of features right away and they would use the product, but they would basically occupy our chats, occupy our customer service with, well, Chase has this feature and the Bank of America has this feature, and we had to rapidly build it.
So you said we. I'm really curious about how you built your team and what do you look for in those people to indicate that they were the winning horses to join you?
I'm not going to lie. I'm a product of Eastern Europe and also Jew by nationality. I tend to gravitate towards the Eastern European and Israeli teams versus teams in India and other parts of the world. That was probably the first factor. And the second factor was the fact that whether you had or didn't have experience in the actual field of financial technology and banking. And we decided right away to go with remote teams. So it was more about culture, your upbringings, and the way that you work versus geography and whether we want to have a remote office or not.
Tell me a little bit more around the Eastern European, Israeli teams. What characteristics are those folks? You mentioned the way you were brought up to work. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Traditionally, it's about the attitude to do more with less and being able to achieve the result and consider an achievement of a team. Also, very important, the cultural mesh between the team. It's not very diverse in the beginning. You have a small team that builds the product initially, and before the team goes larger, you really try to maintain the same culture, same interests, and that's what primarily what this is all about.
Hello, welcome to the Data Analytics Club. Do you know the password?
No, didn't know there was one.
Do you know how to code?
No.
Do you know how to query data? Like, ask a question? I guess not.
I see. Then you can't be in this club. Sorry. Goodbye.
Don't be left out of the analytics club. ClearQuery is the analytics for humans platform. With their full suite of features, you can go from data ingestion to automated insights seamlessly. ClearQuery provides you with the information you need without requiring you to do the heavy lifting. Their Ask ClearQuery feature allows you to ask questions in plain English, helping you find relationships and connections in your data that may have previously gone unnoticed. You can even visualize your data with presentation mode, taking your data storytelling to the next level. Pricing is based on storage, not licenses, and that ensures that you get the most bang for your buck. Don't miss the opportunity to simplify data analytics, your data analytics, with ClearQuery. Get started today at clearquery.io/codestory. This episode is sponsored by CashFly. The web is a competitive place, and if your site delivers its content pixelated, slow, or not at all, well, then you lose. But that's where CashFly comes in. CashFly delivers rich media content up to 159% faster than other major CDNs. Through ultra-low latency streaming, lightning-fast gaming, and optimized mobile content, the company offers a variety of benefits. For over 20 years, CashFly has held a track record for high-performing, ultra-reliable content delivery. While competitors call themselves fast or use cute animal names, only CashFly holds the record of being the fastest and serves customers like Adobe, the NFL, or Roblox, where content is created by users and must be delivered in real time. For the first time ever, CodeStory listeners can get a 5 terabyte CDN for free. Yep, you heard that right, free. Learn more at cashfly.com/codestory. That's cachefly.com/codestory. Okay, so let's talk about scalability. I'm looking for solution or maybe technological scalability as well. Was this built to scale from the beginning, or are there interesting areas where you had to fight it? And I heard you say, you know, you were going against the big dogs, and my gut says you probably built it to scale from day one, but I'm really curious if there was any sort of areas of tension.
First and foremost, building a product in banking as a service in the United States is a challenge, not so much from the technology side, but from the compliance side. There's a lot of compliance and the oversight that's happening by the regulators. You can build it to scale and you can allow the system to do a lot of different things. We obviously use multiple technologies, React being most common one for the applications. But the main issue is compliance. It's a regulated industry. You're dealing with people's money. Although it seems like a very simple task to move money from one account to the next, it's not that simple when it comes to compliance and how much KYC, KYB, know your customer, know your business you have to overcome, and how much presentation time goes towards presenting your use cases to the bank that you partner with in order to build a product. We've rolled out a product and we made an integration with a very known company named Plaid. The first week we're out with the product, we have this guy that gets on the platform and starts transferring money from different Plaid account holders that really didn't belong to him. Before we knew it, he had 24 different bank accounts connected to our bank account and actively trying to move money from other people. Turned out to be Plaid was really good at connecting, but they didn't put any safeguards in place, even though they're a multi-billion dollar company, for the ability of somebody, if you know somebody's username and password, to be able to easily get in. So we had to build safeguards that would provide additional verification of that person's identity when they connect their accounts to prevent them from transferring somebody else's money onto our accounts and obviously ultimately spending right away.
As you step out on the balcony and you look across all that you've built with Nativia, what are you most proud of?
I am more proud of the fact that we're changing the way that the gig workers are able to become remote salespeople. We're on the cusp of creating 1,000 salespeople in the country that are ultimately bankers from home. I think, to me, the sales aspect of it is probably the proudest moment for this company today.
So you mentioned the thing with Plaid, but I'm going to ask another question here. Tell me about a mistake you made and how you and your team responded to it.
We didn't think that people would want to move money between themselves and between their own accounts right out of the get-go. And we've had people try to duplicate it or try to move the money out right away to their Cash App accounts and to their Zelle accounts. So keeping the people money and the spending inside our app versus them simply receiving the money into our bank account and then transferring to Cash App and Zelle was a really big challenge. So we wanted to understand, how do we keep people on the platform and how do we make them spend money, because that's where majority of our income from the platform comes from. It's still a challenge today. We're still trying to figure it out, a perfect way to do this, but we've introduced limited rewards to solve the problem from people moving money out. People actually love the fact that they can get a specific reward for a specific limited amount of time, and they would rather keep their money waiting for that reward than to move it out to Cash App and their other bank accounts. So that was an interesting scenario that we observed, and we didn't anticipate that people would respond so well to that.
This will be really interesting to hear. The space is not going away. It's hot. You know, you have a successful product. What does the future look like for Nativia, the product, and for your team?
I think that the future looks really well for us right now because we are just scratching the surface of the market. According to the latest study, 78% of the people in the United States today, and I'm talking businesses, and now we're doing some personal cards as well, but 78% of the people have no problems doing banking on their phone or on their web without ever visiting the branch. But only 28% of the people are comfortable signing up with banking services online only without having somebody's presence. As we try to move our services down to the streets of the United States, we are trying to answer the penetration ratio change from 28% of people comfortable to 78% of people using. And I think this is probably the most interesting opportunity that I'm excited about, because it's such a big number that we could still cover in this country. And it's such a receptive audience of 78% of people willing to conduct business digitally as long as they get comfortable initially.
Okay, let's switch to you, Vlad. Who influences the way that you work? Name a person or many persons or something you look up to and why.
Many people, actually. I would say that Shark Tank guys influenced me a lot. I'm really entrepreneurial these days, and I love the entire Shark Tank culture. As a matter of fact, my daughter is a Shark Tank kid. She's been watching Shark Tank since she was 7. She's just turned 15 last week. And I watched just too many Shark Tanks over the last 10 years that I feel embrace their culture. So I would say that every one of those Shark Tank guys is probably one of the people that influences me a lot. Outside of that, I would say Jack Ma. I love his principle. His principle is, when you're 20, make as many mistakes as you can. Work for a big company. When you're 30s, try to go to a small company and be all you can be. When you're in your 40s, try to do a business, because that's the last time you're going to try to make something that would be worthy of your entrepreneurial skills that you acquired in your 30s and your 20s. And at 50, invest in the ones that are in their 20s. At 60, go and drink pina colada on the beach. I'm in my 40s and I'm doing exactly what Jack Ma says. And I'm hoping that I would be starting to invest more into the guys that are in their 20s when I turned 50 plus. It's a very interesting thing when you're a late life stage founder as well, and you sit in a room of people that are in their 20s, in their 30s, and you're in the fintech space, which is very dynamic and very young. To be able to challenge them, to me, that's my personal drive.
Okay, Vlad, last question. So you're getting on a plane and you're sitting next to a young entrepreneur who's built the next big thing. They're jazzed about it. They can't wait to show it off to the world. Can't wait to show it off to you right there on the plane. What advice do you give that person, having gone down this road a bit?
Just be passionate. As long as I can see the passion, I will ask them if they need an investor. Majority of the time, it would be about how crazy is their idea. Is the idea provides a niche solution for a specific thing? And if that's the case, what's their age category? If they're too young, they haven't smelled the blood yet, so I would be very skeptical. But if they're in their mid-30s, probably seen a thing or two that's not efficient and not perfect, then they're trying to perfect that. Or if they're trying to address something very global. If they have a big, grandiose idea, it would probably be too early and too ambitious for my taste. But I would definitely tell them to pitch the idea as many times as they can until they hear a yes.
That's fantastic advice. Well, Vlad, thank you for being on the show today. Thank you for telling the creation story of Nativia.
Thank you for having me.
And this concludes another chapter of Code Story. Code Story is hosted and produced by Noah Laphart. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or the podcasting app of your choice. And when you get a chance, leave us a review. Both things help us out tremendously. And thanks again for listening.
Save big money at Menards. Add comfort to your life with Menards' great selection of Serta mattresses. Find the perfect mattress that fits your size and firmness needs. Hurry in today and pick up a Serta Gel memory foam mattress in a box on sale now through May 27. Take control of your comfort with Serta mattresses at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money.